Sherman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Well, real shocker in the news this morning, Len. CNN has reported that Anthony Bourdain, dead at 61, apparently he killed himself in a hotel room in Strasbourg, France, where he was filming his hugely popular television series, Parts Unknown.
And then right on the heels of Kate Spade's suicide, I mean, these two famous suicides, back to back, just stunning. He, you know, traveled the world, looked like he was just the greatest time as a bon vivant, traveling.
Did he not have the greatest job in the world? Every time I thought, I want to go to this country. I want to eat that food. I loved it when he would go to a place in Asia and he'd sit around the big round tables and they would bring the hot oil out and he would like dip live insects or crawfish into the oil. And
no, he had a great job, and more to the point of the suicide, he seemed to know it.
Yeah,
he seemed to understand that he really had the world by the tail, that the world was, in his context, the world was his oyster.
And he'd been open about all the struggles he'd had in his life with drugs and alcohol when he was a chef. And you had the sense, you never know, of course, that that part of his life he had put behind him. He'd fixed his life. He was having a great time, enormously popular. The only thing I did notice, I think Natalie noticed it as well, there was a fair amount of drinking on the show. He always seemed to have a bottle of wine open or drinking whatever the local liquor was. Yeah. And sometimes he looked, he was bombed, but that was kind of part of the fun of the show.
I was looking at his bio. He was a 2-pack-a-day cigarette smoker. He gave up cigarettes 11 years ago when his daughter was born. But he said, clearly addicted to all kinds of substances, heroin, prescription drugs, LSD, cocaine. He did it all. He said in his book that he once resorted to selling his record collection on the street in order to raise money to purchase drugs.
But he seemed to revel in the fact, he talked about it so freely, he seemed to be reveling in the fact that he'd left it all behind in favor of this new life, this second act of his that included, is it an 11-year-old daughter?
Yeah, so there will be 11 this summer, yeah.
Yeah, 10-year-old daughter.
And he was traveling around the world. For example, here he is in Vietnam.
So back in Vietnam. One of my favorite places on earth.
And I remember when he was on with Obama.
Dip and stir and get ready for the awesomeness.
I'm ready. Now, is it appropriate to just pop one of these whole suckers in your mouth, or do you think that you should be a little more...
Well, slurping is totally acceptable in this part of the world.
But... He's just all over. This is Iran.
So far, Iran does not look, does not feel the way I'd expected.
Amazing. What a job.
He just seemed perfectly at ease.
61 years old.
But he seemed so at ease with the world. He seemed to be the kind of guy who wanted to stick around.
And the other thing was he knew all of these great chefs around the world. So when he was traveling and he would meet them, you could see two old friends coming together and sharing a meal. And that was part of the camaraderie and the conviviality of the vibe of the show.
And we all agree we like the guy on the air, right? We enjoyed watching.
Yeah, incredibly charismatic, terrific television.
He's really a natural.
Well, just to make a broader statement here, you had these two very public suicides. I pray that this will raise the level of discussion. And if anyone is contemplating, just call a suicide hotline. Ask for help. Don't be too proud. I mean, it's the two famous people who you thought had it all in the world, and they take their own lives. Just stunning, guys.
Yeah,
stunning.
And well, you know, it's the drugs and the alcohol and the addiction. I mean, we don't know yet, but when it comes down, there were reports that Kate Spade was battling alcoholism, and that may have triggered her suicide.
Right.
Too,
so we'll see what kinds of stories emerge from this second great suicidal tragedy.
Did you ever read Kitchen Confidential, the book that made him famous?
That was the original book.
Yeah, that's the book that took you behind the scenes and showed you how tough the restaurant business was.
Well, and also prone to having good times in the kitchen when the stove was off.
Well, that's where he talked about the drug use. Was there a restaurant in Soho? Whatever.
Yeah, no question about that. So the big three, Anthony Bourdain, dead, 61 of a suicide. Also, restaurant owners near that military base in Brooklyn are boycotting it because the pizza boy, Pablo, he got iced up when he went there to deliver a pizza the other day. So the restaurant owners are concerned about their employees might be ratted out by the military base there. And we've got Belmont coming up this weekend. Justify. All right, he's got to win, right, Len?
Well, the odds are 4-5. He's on the rail, not the third rail, as you put it.
All right.
He's on the rail.
The rail.
Oh, we don't know. He was almost caught in the Preakness, and, you know, we got a mile and a half at the Belmont, so if the Preakness were a mile and a half, he might have been caught. You know what's really interesting? We have Alice Stockton Rossini out there. Now, we went to her earlier. She nearly got thrown out of the track because she's standing on the rail. She's waving papers. She's yelling to us on the radio. Security came over to her and said, "You're going to spook the horses." Now, I can only imagine a headline, you know, because Justify is going to work out in about half an hour. I can just see the headlines now that Justify is spooked by a lady reporter from the radio, fails to make the triple crown. I was thinking, Alice, who knew that if you announced horse racing, you had to be, I mentioned to you that before your time on bowling on television, the announcer would be right behind the lanes. So the announcer, famous announcer doing bowling when I was a kid, was a guy named Whispering Joe Wilson.
Well, here's Billy Wheelow up on 5, where he will be finishing in this, the second game only. He won the toss, elected to finish on 6 in the first and third.
That's terrific. I love that.
Natalie tracked down Whispering Joe Wilson. Now,
that is so soothing.
And then you brought up golf announcers. So Natalie found us some good golf announcing.
Joe Guglielmi about to make a very difficult putt here on the green course at Country Club of Waterbury. It's been a difficult hole for him. It was a 450-yard dogleg left, and he ended up in the rough on the right.
In the rough.
He's looking at the crowd.
He's looking at the crowd.
There's a hush. You can barely hear a heartbeat.
Shh, shh, shh. Tweet, tweet.
There's an incredible amount of focus and concentration that are required for a putt, such as this.
Is this a put on? This is real?
Is that a parody of a golf announcer?
That's what I thought.
Is that from Caddyshack? What is that?
It's some low-level golf announcer, I guess I'm going to say.
Low-level.
Oh, hey, Len, how does this grab you? The bases are 2/3 full.
Well, also in tennis, you know, the tennis announcers, sometimes the players can hear the announcers up in the booth because they're supposed to be quiet during whoop, whoop. You know, they're hitting the ball and, you know, the announcers like McEnroe or flailing your way up in the booth.
Grand Slam!
Anyway, so let's see if Alice behaves herself. Should we go back and give her another shot?
Yeah, but let's put it in the books.
Okay, let's Alice... is standing by to give us the latest on horse racing. Alice, are you there?
I am here, and I just wanted to tell you that I was determined to get Mike Smith on for this live shot, so I ran down to the stables and through the stables to the Windstar stable, and he was not there. They said he's back at the jockey room. So it was 7:56, and I started running back toward the jockey room, and one of the peace officers in his car stopped and said, "Are you okay? Where are you going?" And I said, "I need to go to the jockey room. Give me a ride. I have this all on tape." He gave me a ride. First, he was going to drop me at the front. He said, "I can take you here or to the tunnel." I said, "Please take me to the tunnel." So we go down this long tunnel. We run into the jockey room. There's not one jockey in the room. Mike Smith will not be on his horse until tomorrow during Belmont Stakes. But I did talk to one of the guys who's been there forever. He's like 80 years old, and he's known Mike his whole life. And he said the big problem with Mike in the stable, in the jockey room, is he wants to be a country singer, and he starts singing, and it annoys everyone because he's terrible. So that is breaking news.
Wow. Breaking news that he's a country singer and he's terrible at it? Boy, Alice scoops it out, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, I get all the big stuff. So I'm talking to Sean Tugel, assistant racing manager and director at Windstar Farm, who owns Justify. And he's hanging out with Wise Guys owner Lee Hofberg, checking out the competition. Check them out.
What do you think? Who else do you like? Noble Indy's going to run well, 30-1.
Yeah.
That's our other horse, Mike Rapoli. Somebody's got Mets colors. Do you like the Mets? I'm a Yankees guy.
I'm from Kentucky. I like the Reds, I guess.
Oh, big red machine.
Yeah, I know.
When's the last time they made the playoffs?
1963.
Ouch. The Mets are even doing better than that.
What was that, before Rose got banned?
Yeah. Yeah, and Mark Schott was still there.
Mets color. So what was the name of that horse? Noble Indy? Was that it?
Yeah.
All right. 30-1. Alice, you're getting a kick out of yourself.
You're
what's
having
going
fun.
On?
Stop laughing, Alice. We
told you
you're
going to have a good time out there.
I have to be serious. Play the other cut. Okay. That's when I first saw them.
Okay.
You feeling lucky?
Well, we're out here watching the Wise Guy horse that Leaf is here watching, Hofberg, getting ready to go around. Supposedly he's the horse we have to worry about. Is that true, Leaf? How's he doing?
Yes, Leaf, is that true?
He's doing great.
Oh. And so that's your horse?
That is.
Oh.
There he goes right there.
You guys are friendly. Do you drink?
Oh, we drink on an occasion. We're friends.
So it'll be okay if he wins?
No. Well, if he picks up the dinner tab that night, yeah. I mean, I'll pick it up if we win. Is that the deal? Is that the gamble?
Sounds like a good gamble.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So who's this Justify guy you were talking to again?
He's the assistant racing manager and director at Windstar Farm that owns Justify.
Okay.
And when I went down to the stables, there was all of these, there were people from China there because China is a big owner of Justify. And you know, tomorrow, Justify's going to be wearing the colors of China in the silks. You know, they put the silks on them.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's supposed to look like the flag of China.
Oh, stars. Yeah, there's stars on the shirt. Right. Yeah.
And Ron Gronkowski's going to be here. Did you know that?
Yeah, Rob Gronkowski, the Patriots, because there is a horse. The number six horse is Gronkowski at 12-1.
Yeah, so I wonder if he'll be wearing a fascinator.
He'll be wearing a what?
A what?
Fascinator.
Fascinator. That's what they call the hats there.
Oh, the hats.
All the reporters here, except for me, are wearing these ridiculous hats.
I think they're the only ones who wear the hats. New Yorkers don't wear dopey hats. No. Just the reporters.
Hey, the drink of the Kentucky the drink of the Kentucky Derby is the mint julep. Is the drink of Belmont a Long Island iced tea?
Ooh, that should be good. Good idea.
It's not. It should be.
Yeah.
So, Alice, Justify is going to be on the track, what, at about 8:45, right?
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Okay, so listen, here's your assignment. Just watch it. You know, maybe do a little play-by-play on your microphone as Justify goes by. And then call us back, and we'll play it at 9 o'clock. How's that?
Go move your bloomin' arse and spook them.
Yeah, don't spook the horse.
Come on, spook them for us. Come on, Dallas.
WR Radio ruins the triple crown. Headlines in the Post.
Listen, they have a little horse here that the jockeys, like, if they want to warm up, it's a little wooden horse that you can sit on, and you can, like, ride it. Like, it goes back and forth. I was thinking maybe I'd sit on that and watch it.
A wooden horse to ride? I don't know what she's talking about.
All right,
practice?
It's a wooden horse. It's a rocking horse.
Keep it down out there, Alice. Keep it down out there.
A rocking horse. All right. Thanks, Alice.
Keep it down.
Talk to you soon. Watch Justify for us.
Take care. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Hey, stick around. We've got the great Chaz Palminteri is going to be with us. His play, A Bronx Tale, is a big hit on Broadway, and he has just joined the cast.
After 9/11, did you live in Lower Manhattan? Did you work there? Did you go to school there? Did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? So, here's the question. Were you in Lower Manhattan below Canal Street between September 11th, 2001 and the summer of 2002? And have you been diagnosed with cancer? If you answered yes to these questions, you may be eligible for compensation. Call attorney Noah Kushlevsky, the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He's recovered over $1 billion for clients affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help. Just look him up. How many cases? Over $1 million. Noah's resolved over 400 of them, $400 million cases. So if you were a student or live near Ground Zero or work near there below Canal Street after 9/11 and now you have cancer, call them. Call 888-974-3125 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. groundzerocancer.com or call 888-974-3125.
Now let's check in on the traffic with Bernie Viter.
Now more.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
I'm excited about our next guest. I've been a fan of his for years. He's the great actor Chaz Palminteri from New York. He's joining the cast of A Bronx Tale, which is his play that he wrote. But he's going to play the role of Sonny, which is Tuesday through Fridays through the summer. A big welcome to Chaz. How are you this morning?
All right, pretty good, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. Now, you become thus the first person to ever write, star in a play, film, and musical versions of a show. So, hey, you're Guinness Book of Records material, Chaz.
Yeah, well, it's pretty good. I didn't know that when it happened, but when I found out, I said, wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Hey, Chaz, Bronx Tale is a musical. How are your vocal chops? Are you up there with some of the other big Broadway stars like Renee Fleming?
I could sing. I'm a pretty good singer. Yeah, you know, I sang before. In fact, I was singing before I was acting, but I haven't sang in about 25 years because most of the plays that I've, all the plays that I've been in have been straight plays. And then all of a sudden, you know, I got this opportunity. So I went into training for about 2 months. I've been, you know, taking voice lessons again, studying, so I'd be ready when I came back. So it feels good. I like it.
I bet you can belt out a few Sinatra tunes.
I'm okay. I'm pretty good.
So how long has Bronx Tale been going now on Broadway?
A year and a half.
Wow. So yeah, why now? So why now are you jumping in?
Well, Nick Cordero, who plays Sonny, he left to do a movie. They were looking and they were going to cast somebody else. And then the director, Jerry Zak, because I always told him, I said, Jerry, you know, maybe one day I'd like to jump in and do this. And then he said, look, now's a good time, you know.
Yeah.
And so I started working on it, and it was a great opportunity. And it's good, too. It's just, you know, it takes the play. For people who saw it, come back and see it again. A lot of people like to come back and see Bronx Tale more than once.
Oh, yeah. Know? I was going to say, Chaz, A Bronx Tale is one of the iconic plays about New York City and New York life. Take us back to the neighborhood, the people who inspired this play when you were a kid.
Well, it really stems from when I was 9 years old. I was sitting on my stoop, and there was this wise guy who I didn't know at the time, was on the corner with a bunch of guys, and all of a sudden these two cars, kind of one backed in, one went frontwards. I thought they were fighting over a parking space, and one guy got out with a baseball bat and smashed the window of the other guy in the back, and the guy was bleeding, and he went to hit him again, and then one of the guys came over from the corner and shot him right in the head, you know, and killed him.
Oh, my God. You saw all this?
Yeah, this was like 5 feet from me.
Jeez.
I was on the stoop.
How old were you?
Nine.
I was nine. I was almost ten, to be exact. And I was just kind of like, holy God, it was right in front of me, you know? And then the next minute I knew my father had me by my arm and dragged me upstairs. He ran down. And then the cops came and, you know, they wanted me to say who, you know, were you on the stoop? Who pulled? Could you identify the person who pulled the trigger? And I refused to do that. So.
Wow.
And then the next day I saw the same guy and he looked at me and I looked at him. And he kind of looked at me with the look of, I know that you know that I know.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
You know, but no, not that threatening way, in a more of a smile way. And because he knew I didn't rat, you know. And then after it started to build a relationship where I would hang around there and he'd say, hey, you know, go get us this. And the next minute I knew I was throwing the dice for him, you know, down at the basement, you know, and that's how it all started. Wow. My dad was a bus driver, and he was, you know, he believed in hard work and going to college and doing the right thing. And I just thought it was kind of, the boy was in between the father and the wise guys. And what made the story unique was the wise guy didn't want me to be a wise guy. He said the same things that my father did. Exactly.
Don't get involved.
Don't get involved. Stay out. Go to school. Go to college. Mm-hmm. Make something out of yourself. But because of who he was and what he did, my father felt threatened by that and felt that I would sooner or later, you know, be involved in that if I kept hanging around, you know, get in trouble. And he was right, you know, and my dad was the real hero.
He was
absolutely correct.
Great story. Chaz Palminteri, Bronx Tale. You can see him Tuesdays through Fridays through the summer in A Bronx Tale. Hey, Chaz, thanks so much for a few minutes.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
I'm coming to hear you sing, Chaz.
Come on down. It's a great show. People love it. They really do.
Great. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Chaz. Let's see if this happens this weekend.
Up comes the apple.
That means they would have had to hit a home run, so I don't know if it's going to happen. But now's your chance to win my personal seats. See the Mets and Phillies July 11th. Be caller 12. 800-321-0710. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets. Time for the latest news headlines. Good morning to you. Joe Bartlett's off today. Here's Jeff McKinney.
Well, good morning. And our lead story is the fact that celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain has been found dead at the age of 61, found dead in a hotel room in Strasbourg,
France.
France, where he was shooting, where he was doing some work.
Suicide.
Dead at 61. And CNN says suicide. Not saying apparent suicide.
They're saying a suicide.
They're saying it
That's
was a suicide.
Unbelievable on the heels Shocking. Of Kate Spade. It's just unbelievable.
So Anthony Bourdain, so popular and so seemingly happy in his career and in his life, is gone. President Trump says he doesn't need to prepare for next week's North Korean summit because it's all about attitude. Trump is expecting a positive meeting and says it could lead to Kim Jong-un visiting the White House.
I think it would be well received. I think he would look at it very favorably, so I think that could happen.
But Trump says it could take more than just one meeting to get the deal done. And President Trump is heading to the G7 summit today for what could be a series of tense meetings there. It comes after the president imposed a tariff on foreign-made goods, causing a rift with countries like Canada and France. Just last night, in a tweet, Trump called Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau indignant. The two also had a testy phone call. Wow. That's not necessarily an insult. Why are you indignant?
I love
you are indignant.
I just love the way Trump has turned the world upside down. Kim Jong-un is his pal. And Justin Trudeau is his enemy. Foe.
That but is this, kind of funny.
No matter what you think of Trump, no matter what you think of what they now call the optics of Trump, which are always different, this is immense news.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And yet, by the way, you know what he said a few minutes ago? He's considering pardoning Muhammad Ali. So we'll have some of those.
We got to get into that. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
And needless to say, he talked about lots of different things as he was getting ready.
He was getting ready to get on Marine One, and we'll have that sound for you coming up a little later.
He is a talker. A grieving mother is upset with authorities after the death of her 2-year-old son. That mother, Maria Busson, wants to know why an Amber Alert was not issued when her son was abducted by his father.
It's not warranted to let people know immediately that somebody's missing, and that has to be changed.
Giovanni Legurgo and his father John were found dead in a burning car in Virginia a day after John failed to return Giovanni to his mother. This news is brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com.
Jeff, thank you very much. Coming up, we're going to have Open Phones Friday. Is anything on your mind? Oh, my God. Not too much going on from Korea to the pizza guy. Hey, you may want to rip Michael. I don't think anyone has any bones to pick with me around here. But give us a call. Open Phones Friday, 800-321-0710. You can clear the phones, everyone, if you're waiting for Mets tickets. We do have our winner. But if you want to join us for Open Phones Friday, be our guest. Hey, let's check out traffic now. Bernie Viper.
Very good Friday morning to everybody. We're throwing the phones open here at 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. We want your thoughts on all the big stories of today. Man, the shocking news that Anthony Bourdain has killed himself at the age of 61. Just stunning.
In fact, we have a call. We'll get to it in a second. Yeah. We have a call from someone who worked with him. So we'll be very topical. But if you want to call about anything, it could be big or small. We're going to be doing Open Phones Friday for you. Give us a call. We want to congratulate Todd Fieldstadt from Lake Ronkonkoma. Won my personal seats. Congratulations, Todd. We'll have more tickets for you on Monday, and we will have a turning point from Sunday night's Mets-Yankees Subway Series game at 8:30, and we'll have tickets at 7:30 on Monday as well.
All right, let's go to line one with Hannah from the Bronx. Good morning.
Hello?
Hannah.
Hi, Hannah. You're on.
Hi.
You worked with
Hi,
Anthony Bourdain. You worked with Anthony Bourdain. You must be in shock, as we all are.
I'm mortified. I'm very shocked. But then again, I'm really not. The man was suffering from a disease that's not visible to the naked eye. And I have to say that I'm really very upset with the fact that the public is not, it's just so stigmatizing people with mental illness and someone who's homeless, who's now, you know, it could be anybody. It could be a brother. It could be a sister. It could be your, you know, it could be, I hate to say this, but it could be Harvey Weinstein. We have to stop, you know, criminalizing people who are depressed and suffering from mental illness. It's a disease that's, you know, that is not visible to the naked eye. I suffer from mental illness, and currently I was telling your call screener that I'm in a current case with the MTA because they don't recognize that I have mental illness, which is not naked to the, you know,
obviously
visible eye.
Hey Hannah, before we go on to another caller, did you see any of the drug issues that they're talking about with Anthony Bourdain?
Okay, I'm not going to comment on that. But what I'm going to say is that Anthony was a very eclectic person who shared so much stories about his past. And one thing about him is that he had a lot of demons and he had a lot of problems and he was open to talk about anything. And when I was his personal assistant one time, and production assistant, for the show No Reservations, he was one amazing employer, and he is so eclectic, and he even went to Queens. I'm from Queens, and he was amazing. And before, you know, you guys let me go, I just wanted to say, you guys are an awesome show. I love your show. I love Natalie, and I hope you guys don't do anything like what these guys did.
Thanks,
Keep up with the great show. God bless you.
Thanks, Hannah. Thank you. Good luck with you, and good luck with your situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank you so much. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye. Okay,
thanks, Hannah.
Bye.
Let's check in. Open phones Friday. Call us. Anything you want to talk about. 800-321-0710. Let's go to Rob in West Harrison, New York. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Len. So I feel like you're the kind of person, even though I usually disagree with you politically, that can look at the shoe on the other foot. When it comes to what's called spying in the Trump campaign, I would call spying too small of a word. What was going on was sending in what we'd call an agent provocateur. They went to a young guy who was relatively unaccomplished, drank too much, and was a little bit greedy, and said to him something to get him started, saying, you know Hillary, they've got Hillary's emails, and have you guys gone after getting them? So to me, that's not just spying. That's kind of like agitating the waters to try to get something started.
Well, do you know this, Rob, do you know this for a fact, or are you just listening to someone reported on Fox?
This is what's been reported. No, not just on Fox.
Okay.
And the problem I see with that kind of activity is that's exactly how the Soviets destroyed the Eastern Europeans. They went in, they had neighbor spying against neighbor, friend against friend, relative against relative, until finally they didn't trust each other and they had full control
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. I don't, you know, the spying to me, I think, is still strong. But and several Republicans have
Trump's
come out
not getting
said,
any support from the Republican
no,
Party.
A lot of Republicans have come out and said, no, wait a second, including Trey Gowdy, of all people. Anyway. Yeah.
And Paul Ryan just did that. So yeah. Let's go to Danny from Rockaway Park, New York, on line three. Good morning, Danny.
Hey, Danny.
Good morning, guys and ladies. First of all, I want to tell you guys are great. You're not like Fox News, unfair and unbalanced. And
thanks, Danny.
We're just unhinged.
Danny, that's right. No, that means a lot to me. Thanks.
You guys are great, really.
Thanks.
The last caller, yeah, the call in that said Pablo, the pizza delivery guy, that poor guy, said that he's illegal and he's working off the books. He's got to be kidding me. If we ever took everybody that's working off the books and fired them, let them go or sent them back, you'd have the city to their knees.
Exactly.
That's like the most ridiculous statement I ever heard.
You're right.
No, thanks.
City would not function if we threw everybody back who's not on the books.
Hey, my gardening and other functions wouldn't.
You'd have to mow your own lawn, Len.
I'd have to make my own beds and everything. Oh my God! Thanks, Danny.
Thanks, Danny.
Appreciate the call. How about another Dan? How about let's talk about outer space? Hey, Dan, you're up from Dutchess County. How are you?
Good morning, Dan.
Hi. How are you? Good morning. I just want to predict the CNN headline is going to be Martians. Obviously, did not pay enough attention to global warming and were wiped out.
Yeah, that's
it. That's very good, Dan.
Take care. All right, thanks, Dan.
That's funny.
We've really never discussed that Spygate story, you and I. The president's the only one who's called it Spygate.
Yes.
So clearly, I've pushed back a little bit, but.
Well, Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, was pushing back on it yesterday, too.
Yeah, so
I don't know, I'm not sure there's going to be much there for Spygate, but we shall see.
No, we're going to be talking about the president's comments. He did go talk to the reporters on the way to Marine One because he's on his way to Quebec.
You're always complaining, G7. Not enough press conferences, this, that, and the other thing. He just talked the ear off the press corps for the last 10 minutes out there.
But I liked what he said the other day.
I think I'm very well prepared. I don't think I have to prepare very much. It's about attitude. It's about willingness to get things done. But I think I've been preparing for the summit for a long time. As has the other side.
He's leaving the G7 summit early so he can go hang out
early
with Kim Jong-un. But he'd rather be with the foes than the allies.
Are you the one who was the caller? No, it was you who said that he's buddies with Kim. And
yeah, the
enemies,
world is upside down
enemies,
in Trump land.
Enemies with Trudeau.
Yes, Trudeau's a foe, Kim's a friend.
But I do like this.
It's about attitude.
It's all about attitude.
That's
so
right.
I've stopped preparing for the show, by the way. So I'm just going to give you attitude as opposed to what I normally do. By the way, the president did say he's considering pardoning Muhammad Ali. So we're going to have some of the president's comments after the news at 9. In fact, Jeff McKinney will have some of it as well. But the president did have some things to say, which I think you'll find interesting. And he said once again that, yes, he can pardon himself.
All that is coming up. Plus, if you live in New Jersey, don't place your bets yet. Governor Murphy is not signing the sports betting bill, but we'll tell you why when we get back. Now let's go to traffic with Bernie Biden.
So I just got an email from a friend of mine listening on the iHeart app.
Yep.
He says, wow, it's unbelievable. Take a quick guess where he's listening.
In some outside of the country?
Very good. You want to
All right, is
narrow
he,
it down?
In Europe? Ooh, on the continent as opposed to being in England. France?
No, Latvia.
Is that Latvia? Amazing? What's he doing in Latvia?
He's probably looking for Kristaps Porzingis of the Knicks because he hasn't been seen on the basketball court lately. And that's where he's from. No, I don't know. No idea what he's doing there.
He's listening
is
to
that
Latvia.
Crazy that wow. He can listen on the iHeart app and loud and clear in Latvia?
Good.
That's amazing.
We span the world.
We do.
So, hey, we were talking about the New Jersey betting bill. Well, the New Jersey passed sports betting. Everyone was getting ready to start betting maybe as early as
they wanted to do it tomorrow.
Week. Tomorrow.
Well,
Saturday, Friday.
As soon as he signs the bill. Well, they passed it yesterday.
But he's not signing the bill. And the reason they think he's not signing the bill is he's in very tense budget talks with lawmakers. And he may be using the signing of this bill as a bargaining chip to probably get more money out of the lawmakers, because we know he wants to raise taxes and he wants to do all those liberal lefty things like infrastructure and all that nonsense.
Well, what I find interesting about these betting bills, and I think the New Jersey one included, you know, all the major sports leagues had opposed, but now they're all have their hand out.
Exactly.
They want a little cut. I don't think they're getting a cut. I mean, Joe Torre was up in Albany lobbying. I don't think the sports leagues are getting a cut out of New Jersey. I haven't seen the actual bill that passed yesterday. But they all have their hand. You know, what a bunch of hypocrites.
I mean, Murphy, though, could make himself pretty unpopular in New Jersey if he doesn't sign this bill. It seems to be what the people want.
He better hide if he doesn't sign this bill.
If he doesn't sign this
bill.
Exactly. He's out.
And now
impeach him.
One of the first things he said was legalize marijuana in New Jersey. Well, how's that been going so far?
He's been relatively quiet since he took office. You don't see a lot of big flashy press conferences. I mean, obviously he's no Chris Christie. He's not out there, you know, yakking it up every day. But
the problem,
people don't have a real feel for him yet.
No, well, the problem, what I'm hearing, is that he is too left for the Democrats in the New Jersey state legislature, and they don't want to go along with him with all of these big spending and high tax programs he believes in. I think he's staying
under the radar for that reason exactly. Yeah. Try to pass things without people really knowing what's going on.
I thought you could never be too thin, too rich, or too far left. That's what I thought.
In your world.
But, Natalie, didn't his office say that he'd be happy to come on the show when he was first inaugurated?
Oh, they all say that.
Well, it's been 6 months.
Get him.
We'll work on it.
I met him at Michael's, a restaurant here in Midtown once. He was very affable, very nice.
Didn't you tell me you had dinner down with David Steinberg?
I did, yeah, the comedian. Oh, he will come on the show.
Natalie, we got to work on Riedel. David Steinberg is one of the great stand-up guy, stand-up comedian out of Canada. Great series on, is it HBO or Showtime?
Inside Comedy.
Great series, interviews comedians. And he directs Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, very close to Larry David.
What a huge star. So Riedel says, I had dinner with him. I said, did you invite him on the show?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Oh,
well, I texted
that's
him.
That's an idea. okay, maybe I'll think about it.
What am I? I'm the co-host. I'm not the booker, all right?
Oh, what?
Can I claw those words back?
Yeah, seriously.
Sorry about that.
Hey, you're the booker, Natalie.
Whoops. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Hey,
so Steinberg's going to come on.
I texted him, yes, and we can set him up for next week. He's brilliant. He is a brilliant comedian.
I loved him.
If you don't pass it along, you'll get who I had dinner with, and that's not going to be that interesting.
Can any of your soccer mom friends come on the show, Natalie? We want to discuss North Korea and trade tariffs with your soccer.
No, they will not want to do
your
that.
Soccer mob friends.
I'm having drinks with Andrew Lloyd Webber tonight.
Oh, stop. So you were a big Bob Ross fan, huh?
I love Bob Ross. The happy clouds, happy waves, a little happy.
Right, tell everyone I didn't know who Bob Ross was till a couple of months ago.
Bob Ross, when I was a kid growing up, Bob Ross was on PBS giving you painting lessons. He was a hippie. He was clearly stoned out of his mind with all his fizzy hair. And he'd be there with a little happy clouds. Ooh, it's a little white. And let's mix in a little blue, a little lapis lazuli, and then we have a happy floating cloud.
All right, enough of you. Well, Bob Ross passed away 23 years ago. Mm-hmm. He had
that long ago?
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my God, Natalie. Don't you feel old all of a sudden?
23 years ago.
I feel really old.
1995. He had the joy of painting. Now,
Netflix.
Well, they said the show was calming bedtime stories. Well, guess what? There's an app now
to
help people sleep.
I'm getting it.
And it's Bob Ross.
I'm getting it. I'm getting listen that to app this. Today.
Now, listen, if you're driving now, I don't want you to doze off.
But, please don't.
Here it comes.
Here's the Bob Ross. Well, this is Bob Ross. And this, and I have it. There's an app for that.
Maybe there's a happy little cloud that just sort of floats around, and we'll just touch the canvas. Just touch. I'm just allowing this paint to pull right off the knife onto the canvas.
That
and it comes wherever you want to go.
just
happy little cloud.
Happy little cloud.
Let it get a little smaller in the background. That way it looks like it's farther away.
Mm-hmm.
With a large brush. Very lightly. Very lightly.
You say large breasts?
No.
Large brush.
No.
I know.
I forgot
large
he had a little
brush.
Bit of the southern accent, too.
But you say he was stoned out of his mind.
Stoned out of his mind.
Oh, wasted.
Higher than a kite. Higher than all of New Jersey.
Well, it's an app. If you have trouble sleeping, you get the Bob Ross app. And that's the voice they're using in sleep stories.
I'm getting it today. I'm going to use it tonight.
All right. Coming up next, the president with some juicy things to say. He had a lot of great comments. We'll have them all coming up in a minute, including he's considering pardoning Muhammad Ali. But first, the news at 9.
Our iHeartRadio Music Festival now. Text the keyword FUN to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. Text FUN to 200-200. Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Just a beautiful Friday morning in a big city, but just such awful news with the celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain. You know him from the CNN show and commits suicide. Now, Michael, the Daily Mail is reporting that he hanged himself, as did Kate Spade.
Kate Spade hanged herself with a scarf from a doorknob. Unbelievable. You know, I want to give out the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, Len. 1-800-273-8255, 1-800-273-8255, because they say that news of suicides can trigger other people to commit suicide. Of course, we don't know this, but Kate Spade just killed herself, hanged herself, and now Anthony Bourdain, apparently according to the Daily News, committed suicide by hanging himself.
I was just reading a story on CBS News that suicide rates in the U.S. rose nearly 30% over the last two decades, according to researchers. And I don't know all the reasons why. I don't have time to get into the article. But,
but there is help out there. There is help. I mean, friends of mine have used the Suicide Prevention Lifeline. I know it saved one friend of mine. Sadly, another friend of mine did kill himself. But that number is 1-800-273-8255. They have great people manning the phones, people who have been through suicidal thoughts themselves who can help you if you're having trouble.
And you think of Bourdain as you did about Kate Spade, a couple of people who you thought had it all. Here's Bourdain traveling the world. Looks like he's having a great time.
Eating the greatest food to be had out there.
You know, visiting just about every country on Earth.
So far, Iran does not look, does not feel the way I'd expected. Neither east nor west, but always somewhere in the middle.
Sounds like Chuck Man Jones playing the trumpet in the background there.
Yeah, probably, obviously, Iranian music, but just terribly. So that leads our big three. CNN's Anthony Bourdain committed suicide. He's dead. It happened in a French hotel room. He was there. Oh,
Strasbourg.
Strasbourg, France. He was found by Eric Ripper, the owner of Le Bernardin.
Oh, I'm going to Le Bernardin tonight for dinner.
It'll be draped in black, I'm sure.
Wow.
They found, his friend found, the owner of Le Bernardin.
They were very close. Yeah. Very, very close. He appeared on the show a lot, his friend there.
Yeah. Anthony Bourdain was just 61. Also in the big three, the protests are continuing over the potential deportation of the pizza guy.
Pablo.
Does not have a criminal record. And other delivery restaurants are going to boycott that army base because I guess they don't want their people being collared.
Would you, if you were a restaurant owner, would you send some of your delivery men over there so they can be thrown in the clink? I don't think so.
Rounding out the big three, the president's comments within the hour. He was going to Marine One. He's on his way to the G7 in Quebec before he heads to the summit meeting with Boy Wonder in Singapore. President is thinking about pardoning Muhammad Ali.
I'm thinking about Muhammad Ali. I'm thinking about that very seriously. And some others. And some folks that have sentences that aren't fair. But I am thinking about Muhammad Ali.
What will it take for you to fire?
In fact, we're doing right now recommendations on, frankly, we're doing recommendations on Muhammad Ali.
Well, I'm confused a little bit about. I looked up the story because I knew he was
draft dodger,
convicted of draft evasion. His famous quote: "He didn't want to serve in Vietnam for religious reasons." And his famous quote was, "I ain't got no quarrel with those Viet Cong."
Mm-hmm.
He was convicted of draft evasion, sentenced to 5 years in prison, fined $10,000, banned from boxing for 3 years. Now he stayed out of prison while the case was appealed. And he didn't box for 3 years, by the way. He eventually came back and went on to have the classic fights with Joe Frazier. But the case was overturned by the Supreme Court, and his conviction was thrown out. So if the Supreme Court overturned his conviction for evading the draft, why would he need a pardon?
Len, you're always trying to knock the president not being... The president is not a details guy. He's not detail or it's a big picture that Trump sees.
I'm just curious.
Trump is righting a wrong. Muhammad Ali should not have been convicted for draft dodging.
But the Supreme Court, you've heard of them, they overturned it.
This is a minor detail that Trump is not concerned about, all right? He's doing the right thing by pardoning Muhammad Ali. You're going to disagree with the pardoning of Muhammad Ali?
No, but I didn't know he needed to be pardoned if the Supreme Court threw out the conviction.
Listen, the president can do what he wants to do, all right? He can pardon anybody.
He can pardon himself.
But not you.
I'm not above the law. I never want anybody to be above the law. But the pardons are a very positive thing for a president. I think you see the way I'm using them. And yes, I do have an absolute right to pardon myself, but I'll never have to do it because I didn't do anything wrong. And everybody knows it.
Everybody knows it.
There you are.
I love it.
And I think, you know, with the pardons, I think he's discovered a new toy and he's, you know, he's having a lot of fun with it.
He is. He can do it. And he doesn't have to consult anybody. Now, most other presidents run this through the Justice Department, but he doesn't have to.
But we did not elect him to be most other presidents,
correct.
Len.
That is correct. I understand. All right. Calm down over there. My, what's got into you? He was asked about the Eagles not showing up and other White House celebrations.
I think we'll have the Caps. I mean, we'll see. You know my attitude? If they want to be here, it's the greatest place on earth. I'm here. If they don't want to be here, I don't want them.
Yes!
That's pretty good.
This is why we love Trump.
Well, the Washington Capitals have won, and they're right down the street, so I'd assume they drop by on a sunny day and go visit the president. The first time in the history of the Washington Capitals that they've won the Stanley Cup. All right, how about...
I love Trump. It's like, he's got an open door policy. You want to come by? Stop by. It's a great place on earth. You don't want to come by? I don't care.
He was asked about the First Lady.
First Lady is great. Right there. She has to, and she wanted to go. Can't fly for 1 month. The doctors say she had a big operation. That was close to a four-hour operation, and she's doing great. I mean, right there. And you know what? She is a great first lady.
There you go. And everyone knows it.
She's right there.
And how about Rudy Giuliani?
Look, Rudy's great, but Rudy is Rudy. But Rudy is doing a very good job, actually. Doing a very good job.
He does stand-up. I'm telling you, it's highly entertaining.
Yes. Everybody's great. Everybody's doing a really great job.
How about Dennis Rodman showing up at the big summit meeting with Kim Jong-un?
No, he wasn't, but I like Dennis. A great rebounder. You know, when you think, Dennis was a great rebounder, and he wasn't, relatively speaking, that tall. So that tells you, you know, there's a rebounding, there's a genius for that. Dennis Rodman was a great rebounder.
A lot of greats today.
I wish a White House press corps member would say, hey, what do you think about Prime Minister Trudeau up there in Canada?
Well, they asked him. He said something about Canada. Funny you should ask.
I love Canada, but they treat us very unfairly on trade. Very, very unfairly. You see the numbers. Almost 300% on dairy. So they treat us very unfairly.
But I love him.
Oh, boy.
I love him.
It's very entertaining. So I was mentioning we got an email from a friend of mine in Latvia, but Lawrence is on the line, and you think you're the furthest listener today? Where are you, Lawrence?
Hey, Len. Hey, Michael. Love your show. I'm in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia right now.
Wow. Wow. What are you doing
That's
in Riyadh?
Unbelievable.
What are you doing in Riyadh?
I'm an advisor to the Royal Saudi Navy under a contract with the U.S. government, but I can't tell you much more than that at this point. But
are you a New Yorker? Do you live in New York?
The family's over in West New York at Port Imperial, right on the Hudson River. Got a great view of the greatest city in the world, and I definitely miss New York for sure.
That's awesome. But, now, we come in loud and clear on the iHeart app over there?
Oh, absolutely. You got to have a Wi-Fi connection, but I'm sitting here enjoying today is our Saturday in this part of the world, so it's Saturday afternoon, about 4:15, and
115 degrees outside, so I'd rather be inside listening to you guys on the radio. And
isn't that great?
Thoroughly enjoying it.
Well, I know why you're inside, because you're worried about those lady drivers over there.
24th of this month.
Driving around in those blackout.
Everybody stay inside.
Driving around in those blackout curtains that they wear over there.
Hey, Lawrence, you sound like a fascinating guy. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling, Lawrence. Thanks for listening.
All right, you bet.
Take care. Bye bye. That's great. I've never been to Saudi Arabia, Riyadh. I'd love to get to Riyadh one day. There was a time that I was traipsing through the Middle East, a bit like Anthony Bourdain. I was in. I was in Qatar, and I was in Israel, and Jordan, and Egypt, even got into Syria.
Yeah, I've been to Israel, which is basically it. I did not, I guess you can do the little, go across the border into Jordan.
And see Petra, which is one of the greatest sites of all time, that ancient city right there in the desert where they filmed Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yeah. So I'd love to go back.
I'm going back next year.
Israel?
Yeah. I'm going back.
And it's obviously right across the border from Syria.
What do they say, next year in Israel?
Next year in Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem.
You say that every year at Passover. Next year in Jerusalem.
At the U.S. Embassy.
Well,
because Trump recognized it.
No, he did. Well.
Is he still out there giving a press conference on the lawn?
Let me think.
I think we'll have the caps. I mean, we'll see. You know my attitude? If they want to be here, it's the greatest place on earth. I'm here. If they don't want to be here, I don't want them.
All right. Half an hour ago, the star of the weekend took the track at Belmont. Justify worked out, going for the Triple Crown tomorrow. Alice Stockton, Rossini at Belmont. How do they look?
Oh, these horses are gorgeous. And it's a great day. And they all came out in kind of a heap. You know what I mean? I'm sending some video over to you guys so you can see them. And they came through a gate that was, you know, about quarter of a mile down the track, so we could watch them all coming up. And as I got ready to take a picture, the sun is like right in the cameras. You know, I think they do that stuff on purpose. Anyway, I did what you told me to do with this guy that trains horses standing next to me.
So yeah, I told Alice to do the play-by-play. So let's. I'm sure you did better. Wait, I'm sure you did better than Riedel on opening day at Citi Field.
No. Look, thanks a lot.
Let's listen to this.
Justify is coming down the stretch from the stables, getting ready for the practice run for the Belmont Stakes. He is flawless with his hoofs hitting the muddy track. It's not muddy. It looks muddy.
No, it ain't.
It's not.
It damn just right.
Oops.
Good
Oops.
Track. Yeah.
Bases
this is
are
the
run-up
to Justify's quest to become the second Triple Crown winner in 4 years. And Wilbur, a beautiful day here at Belmont, bright sunshine. All rise for Justify.
Ma'am, could you keep it down, please?
Alice's spook of the horses out there, Belmont.
Wilbur was from
try,
Mr.
Alice.
A. That
Good
was
job,
great.
Alice,
you did wonderful. Much better than Riedel.
Yeah. Okay. I need you to come out with me next time, Len. Okay.
My pleasure.
What about me? Hey, Justify's taking the third rail.
Not the third
sorry,
rail.
Sorry, the first rail. The rail.
Thanks, Alice. Great job. We're going to post your video and your play-by-play on our website. Go check it out. 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Great job, Alice.
Way to go.
Okay.
All right. Coming up next, let's go to the movies. Ocean's 8, Hereditary. Our movie guy, Joe Neumeier, has his ratings. Plus, Mark Simone's coming up at 10 o'clock. But right now, Bernie Viter has traffic.
On 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Weekend is upon us, and it's time to go to the movies. Now, Len, I love horror movies. I love scary movies.
Yeah.
Exorcist, Carrie,
right.
Ghost Story, Halloween. There is apparently a real, I haven't seen it yet, but a real doozy of a horror movie that's going to be released this weekend called Hereditary.
Really?
And we are going to find out about it right now with WOR Movie Minuteman, Joe Neumeier. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Good morning, guys. It is a doozy, Michael. That's the way you call it. It's a creepy movie called Hereditary, and it's gotten a lot of buzz since it came out of Sundance a couple of months ago. And it is one of the creepiest things I've seen in a long time. It deserves the good reputation it's getting.
What's it about?
It doesn't break any new ground. It's about, so it begins with, in the very first scene, a grandmother dies uneventfully. And then you slowly start to get into the rhythms of this family. And the mother, played by Toni Collette, the great Toni Collette, is a nervous artist, and her son and daughter have their own issues. And slowly you start to figure out that there's something else going on that was involved with the grandmother, and the family is sort of not necessarily as happy as you would think. And it's full of creepy hallways and odd things lurking in corners. And, you know, it reminds me a lot of like a late 60s, early 70s movie in a lot of ways. People have been kind of comparing it in some ways to Rosemary's Baby. That's not
oh,
quite...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not quite a fair comparison, but it has the same kind of unsettled feeling that's going on, and there's lots of creepy shadows and things that are scuttling around, and it's one of the. It's also very long. It takes its time. It's like 2 hours and 7 minutes, and it's very slow, but that is a great payoff. It's incredibly unsettling. If you don't like horror movies, and I know anybody who
well,
who
how many
really
star how many stars you giving it?
I'd give it a solid 4 stars.
Wow.
Yeah, because it really surprised me, because it really doesn't break new ground, as I say, but it really sustains its pace. Right. It really keeps you on your edge. But, it reminds me in some ways, we're in a great era right now of horror movies, yeah. The Witch and Quiet Place and everything. It holds its own with all of
hey,
those.
Hey, Joe, and it's not like a slasher movie, right? It's not blood and guts and all this stuff. It's real proper suspense.
That's exactly right, Michael. In fact, you know, we should make sure that we differentiate, because a lot of people think of the slasher movies, and they're making kind of a comeback too as their definition of horror movies. Things like The Exorcist, things like The Omen, you know, great 70s movies. You mentioned Ghost Story, which is another one from 81. This one reminds me of even some movies. There was one called The Other that I sort of
remember from the 70s.
Remember that? Yeah. Or Audrey Rose. It has sort of that kind of feel to it, where it's really about mood and about the connection between these characters. It's a terrific scary movie.
Well,
great.
Joe, but all the buzz and the gloss and the glitz is about Ocean's 8. Every actress in the world is in it. They're on every TV show. Is it worth it, Ocean's 8?
To me, it's not. I mean, it's a 2-star out of 5, Len. I feel like, you know, it has the tools and the team to pull off this heist, but it doesn't have the style, which is ironic, because it's Danny Ocean's sister. Danny, of course, was George Clooney in 3 movies, starting in 2001. His sister, played by Sandra Bullock, is also a criminal, and so she gets out of prison and starts to put together a team, and they're going to rip off a necklace at the Met Gala, the annual big event that goes on at the Metropolitan Museum. And it's got terrific actresses in it, Sandra Bullock, Kate Blanchett, Helena Bonham Carter, Anne Hathaway. They're all really fun, but there's something missing. It just doesn't have the pizzazz or the style that's going on.
Well, I was going to say, Joe, if you don't have style in one of these Ocean 8 movies, you don't have anything. I mean, it's all about fashion and glamorous locations and people dripping with money. I mean, if you don't have the style, you don't have a movie.
That's exactly right. One of the things I was happy that it didn't have too much of a reliance on, like, technology things, because there's some of that going on in here, but not much. I always feel like that's a cheat if you've got a heist movie going on. And I love heist movies. If you've got a heist movie going on and it all relies upon electronic shenanigans going on, I feel like that's a cheat. There's not that much of that going on here, but it also doesn't really kind of keep you involved in the heist itself. So it's 2 out of 5. The women are all sort of fun. I think that, you know, those Ocean's movies kind of petered out by about the third one, which was back in 2007. This one at least kind of has a nice idea, but it doesn't pull it off. It's no style. It's all in the execution with these things, and it's really missing that.
All right, save me the $11 or $12. Did they get away with it at the end?
Yeah, no, I can't give that away.
Oh, come on, who cares?
If you go to jail, I can't do that. I will say that they certainly open up lots of other possibilities for if they wanted to be an Ocean's 9 or an Ocean's 10 or whatever numbers they're missing.
Why do they call it 8? Because there's 8 of them in the group?
There's 8 of them ultimately in the group, that's right. And there's, in fact, the 8th member is a surprise, so I will kind of keep that as a little dangler as well.
I think, Joe? You can skip Ocean's 8. If you want a classy, stylish heist movie, you can't do better than Steve McQueen in The Thomas Crown Affair.
Totally agree.
I
totally agree. Oh, that was a great. And the remake was not bad either. But Thomas Carano found the original one. Nothing gets better than that.
Totally how about her playing chess? Now, come on.
Wheel within a wheel. The windmill's in my mind. All right. WR Movie Minute Man, Joe Neumeier. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thanks, Joey. Take care, guys.
And now let's get the 8:30 news with Jeff McKinney.
Okay, Anthony Bourdain is dead it is 9:30.
You want to go back and do another hour again?
I'm singing the Thomas Crown Affair.
You're thinking of that chess scene.
I am.
I think that's what you do with Faye Dunaway. She has a way of working with pieces, I'll tell you. Anyway, I'm sorry. What were you saying, Jeff?
I was saying it's 9:30.
Oh, okay, good. You're on.
Because we were told something else a moment ago.
Sorry.
And the sad news, the sad breaking news this morning is that Anthony Bourdain is dead at the age of 61. He took his own life with the Daily Mail saying he was found hanged in his Strasbourg, France hotel room early this morning. And Bourdain was the host of the popular travel show Parts Unknown.
Berlin is a city of ghosts. An ever-evolving space where memories and new ideas live side by side.
And he was really good at that. CNN says his love of great adventure, new friends, fine food, drink, and the remarkable stories of the world made him a unique storyteller. He was that. A large explosion at a bungalow in Monroe, New York, has left 9 teenagers hurt, including 3 critically. It happened early this morning on Cromwell Road.
I was in a bungalow right near here, and a guy started screaming fire. kind of scary fires. We all ran out and we saw, like, we heard it, whatever. It was a whole gas range exploded.
And it appears those inside the bungalow were teenagers from New York City who were away for
WOR.
We'll be joined by the great Howie Rose in just a moment, the voice of the Mets, who are on the verge of another Subway Series. Just wanted to revisit this president saying that he's considering pardoning Muhammad Ali, mm-hmm. which is what a little bit of a little bombshell he broke walking out to Marine One on his way to the G7 in Quebec.
I'm thinking about Muhammad Ali. I'm thinking about that very seriously. And some others. And some folks that have sentences that aren't fair, but I am thinking about Muhammad Ali.
What will it take for you to fire?
In fact, we're doing right now recommendations on, frankly, we're doing recommendations on Muhammad Ali.
Well, there's a couple of things here. First of all, it would be posthumous, and really there have only been a couple of posthumous pardons, including one that he just gave to Jack Johnson, the former heavyweight champion. But the Ali thing puzzles me because even though he was convicted mm-hmm. for evading the draft, it was overturned by the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing to pardon. So clearly this would just be a symbolic gesture
yes.
to say, okay, you're pardoned, but the Supreme Court overturned the conviction. So what's he being pardoned of?
Floats like a butterfly, stings like All a bee, right. and pardons like a Trump.
There you go.
I mean, it's a nice gesture on the part of the president.
You know, every time you think that Howie Rose can't come up with something new, he comes up with something new, including...
Unbelievable.
Howie Rose joins us, the voice of the Mets. Howie, you were referring to the double play on the bunt from Asdrubal Cabrera the other day against Baltimore. Are you, Howie?
I didn't think it was... Hi, guys. Oh, yeah. I didn't think that was as bad an idea, meaning the bunt, as a lot of other people seem to, because Cabrera hasn't been hitting. He was just looking to do something. I don't think he was looking to sacrifice. I think he was looking to bunt for a base hit. But like everything else, recently it just didn't work out, and now we move on to the next one.
Well, I think ironic to... You know, we do this turning point contest every day for Mets tickets, and... 2 days in a row, two losses to the worst team in baseball, Baltimore, where the Mets scored a grand mm-hmm. total of one run. 2 days in a row, the turning point was Asdrubal Cabrera hitting into a double play. That's crazy.
Well, it's been that kind of couple of weeks, hasn't it? And the problem there is that he was the guy who'd been basically carrying the team, especially with Cespedes out, and he's gone cold. So the shame of it is, or the disappointment of it is, really, that everybody's kind of gone cold at the same time. We always... mention when a guy comes up, if he's in a slump, he's 1 for his last 12 or 0 for his last 15. That's all we're doing. 1 through 8 before you get to the pitcher. This guy's 0 for 10. This guy's 1 for 15. This guy's 3 for 20. It's got to end sometime, and tonight would be a good time to try to turn that around.
Yeah, Howie. So the Yankees, an amazing team this year. I was saying to Len, if you could get the Yankees hitters and the Mets pitchers, you'd have the perfect baseball team.
Yeah, we've been trying to combine teams like that forever. It'd be kind of fun. But what will be fun this weekend is that all of that stuff almost becomes peripheral and nearly irrelevant because of the intensity within the ballpark from both fan bases. You know, it's just a lot of fun. And can it turn a season around if you're the Mets? Well, I think the one thing it can do this weekend, even if they just take 2 out of 3, is just relax things a little bit, you know? Everybody's playing in a very uptight manner, trying to do things themselves to ignite a team that's not doing anything offensively. And sometimes when you try to do that, you exacerbate the issues. So the first thing they've got to do is just relax and go out and play. And 1 or 2 wins this weekend probably can go a little ways towards accomplishing that.
We're on the air with Howie Rose, the voice of the Mets here on 710. WOR does the games along with Josh Lewin. Coverage of tonight's first game of the Subway Series here on 710 is at 6:05. And, you know, you mentioned winning one or winning 2 of 3. How about hitting one home run? Just one. I just want one.
Well, that's what everybody's been trying to do. That's the funny part about it. You know, we had the 14-inning game with the Cubs over the weekend. I don't know if you saw it. And it was hilarious because for about the last 5 innings of the game, foul balls were being hit into places at Citi Field where baseballs had never traveled before. Because everybody was just cranked up and trying to yank one out and go home and come back the next day because we had a day game after the night game. But, you know, I mean, heaven forbid somebody should drop down a bunt against the shift or do something creative or, you know, absolutely against the grain other than hit into the shift or try to hit home runs. But it's not just the Mets. That's what the Cubs were doing, and that's what baseball's become lately. And I hope that trend changes, really.
Hey, Len, you know, I don't know a lot about baseball, but I know quite a bit about Howie Rose, and this is what I know about Howie. Howie, I know what your favorite TV show is.
Well, kind of a loaded question because
I know it
about a couple. What, you're going to say Big Bang Theory?
No, I'm going to say The Honeymooners.
Is it on the air? Oh, that's one. Yeah,
I thought,
in
I
no
heard,
particular. What, where'd you get that one?
I just heard that you love The Honeymooners.
Oh yeah, well, who from that generation doesn't? And that generation doesn't mean in real time back in the 50s. I mean, they've been showing that on reruns forever. I even, you know, it's funny, for whatever reason, women don't seem to appreciate the Three Stooges and the Honeymooners the way men do. I don't know why.
Bang, Alice, they don't want to get sent to the moon.
That's right.
Three Stooges,
well, I actually had Barbara laughing at a couple of Honeymooners episodes that we just happened to watch spontaneously one night a couple of years ago. So there's hope.
Well, sometimes I run into Joyce Randolph. She's still alive at Sardi's. I'll give her a big hello from you.
Yeah, Tom Cuddy was telling me about that.
Yep.
That she's got to be 90-something years old, right?
Wow. Yeah, she has lunch with a bunch of other 90-year-olds at Sardi's once a month.
Howie, we're out of time, but you know how I sum up this interview? I think you are unbelievable. There you go, pal.
Thanks, Howie.
You take it all out of ways. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Have a great broadcast. She's how old? 90-something? Joyce Randolph?
She was born in 1924.
Wow.
Still with us, Joyce Randolph.
Wow. Hey, you want to buy your wine at Walmart? Really?
What?
Would you like to be paid to go to FLU University?
Yeah.
They'll pay to go to college and have the flu. What? That's all coming up next. Oh, do you want the latest in technology? Well, our friends from PC Rich & Son are bringing you all the newest smart home products. And best of all, their salespeople are smart experts, too. They can show you how everything works, how it connects with your Google Home or Alexa. The prices are the lowest guaranteed, and the advice is free. Check this out. LG SmartThings Q appliances. You can do some amazing things like preheat your oven, start your laundry, make extra ice for your party, all from an app on your phone. And LG SmartThings Q appliances work with Google Assistant and Alexa. You can get alerts when your dishwasher's done or if your kids leave the refrigerator door open. I go to see my guy at the PC Richard store in Greenvale on Long Island. Gets me up to speed on all things smart. Go see your guy or gal at PC Richard & Son. You get the lowest prices. You get the best advice, expert installations, and you know that PC Richard & Son stands behind everything they sell. For appliances, electronics, mattresses, and everything smart, all you have to do is whistle. For traffic, all you have to do is listen to Bernie Viter.
Happy Friday, everybody. 5 minutes away from Mark Simone, Mr. New York. He is on deck. Now, I drink wine, Len. I like a good Sauvignon Blanc. I know you like your red wine with the ice on it.
Yeah, any red wine with ice.
And I still don't understand why you ice your red wine, but okay. All right, I'm not saying anything.
Fine.
Anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I go to buy wine, I go to a good wine store. I would never think to go to Walmart to buy wine.
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, I think of Walmart as, you know, to buy rolls of toilet paper and big boxes of Cheerios. Not that I ever shop at a Walmart because I live in Manhattan. We don't have one. But when I'm down in Florida, I go, I would never think to try their wine. But apparently they are putting a lot of money into beefing up their wine selection.
Hmm.
They're bringing in wines from California, France, and Italy. And they're going to sell for $11 a bottle. But the sommelier, if you can call the Walmart wine person,
they have
sommelier.
A sommelier there.
They have a sommelier there, a Walmartier. They say the $11 bottle of wine will, in fact, drink like a $30 to $40 bottle of wine. So that's got to be a good wine.
Because they're charging less or what?
No, they just, Walmart is able, don't ask me how, but they perfected this. They're able to offer all these things at a lot cheaper than everyone else, but it's still good quality stuff. I think we should have a wine tasting of the new Walmart wines here, Len.
Let's do it.
We should do that.
Yeah. Right. Let's start at 6 a.m.
Just and go right, roll right
let's
on
have
through.
Tested by 6:30.
What's the most? What's the highest price you've ever paid for a bottle of wine?
I don't know. Probably a Chateauneuf du Pape or some nonsense.
What do you
like
pay
that.
For your house wine that you drink with the ice?
Anywhere from $11 to $25.
I'll give you a good tip. You can get a great bottle of wine for between $15 and $20 if you go and ask your local liquor store guy.
Yeah. My local, there's one I really like a lot, and it was on sale for $11 this week.
Yeah, why not?
Normally, it's around, sometimes around $25. Anyway, here's a deal I don't think you can refuse, Riedel.
Okay.
St. Louis University, they'll pay you $3,500.
Mm-hmm.
And you and all you have to do is be willingly exposed to the flu. So for $3,500, you get diarrhea, fever, body aches, and other flu symptoms. Now, this is all in the name of science.
It's a research thing.
Does that seem like a great deal?
I'd do it.
For $3,500
you'd give yourself the flu?
You'd be sick for 2 weeks for $3,500?
Yeah. $3,500, I'd lose weight, and I don't know, that seems like a win-win.
Really?
Well, you,
boy,
they're gonna
must
put
be
you
in desperate straits, Natalie.
That could
sorry
be
for you.
A whole year of soccer, right well, there.
They're gonna put you in the hotel influenza.
Welcome to the hotel influenza.
You can check in, but you
such
can't
a
check
lovely
out.
Place to chew.
It's a 10-day stay, and you get to you could be with other people having the flu, and you can watch TV and use the internet.
Like,
$3,500. Where do I sign up for this?
This is
flu camp.
talking about this with my husband.
Forget band camp. This one time at flu camp.
This is getting better and better.
My husband said he wouldn't do it because I was discussing this with him last night. I'm like, $3,500, that's not bad. Like I said, I could lose weight. I'd be off for 10 days. And then he goes, but you don't know what kind of flu they're going to give you. Maybe they'll give you some strain.
How about if they give you the swine flu?
You
would
die.
You like the swine
Asian flu?
I thought about it. I'm like, okay.
You graduate Phi Beta Kappa.
Now Phi Beta Crappa.
Now you're making me cough and laugh.
All right, come on. Big weekend. Big
Tony's
weekend. Subway Series, Belmont, and
a Tony Awards Sunday night on CBS starting at 8 o'clock, hosted by Josh Groban and Sarah Bareilles. Bruce Springsteen will be appearing around 10:45. If you can't get tickets to his hot show on Broadway, you can get a little sample of it on the Tonys. And there will be a salute to my pal Andrew Lloyd Webber, who is receiving a Tony Award for his lifetime achievement in the theater. Will you be watching, Len?
I will watch some of it. I'll certainly, well, not at 10:45.
You're not going to stay up late enough.
I'm going to be up for the whole
thing. What time
does
it start?
Starts at 8.
I'll watch the first few minutes.
At 9. I think it starts at 9, yet.
Well, I will not watch it.
A couple hours, yeah.
No, it starts at 9? Oh, I'll be gone by then.
you'll be Betty by then. You'll be Betty.
It's no, I believe good. It starts at 8.
It starts at 8.
I'll watch the first part. By the
but
way.
There's some great performances. It's really fun.
It should be fun. Hey, I love Broadway.
I know you do.
I do.
Never go, but I know you love it.
No, I go from time to time. I saw Come From Away and Hamilton and Hello, Dolly, and I've seen some. And what's the,
What?
Evan Hansen.
Dear Evan Hansen.
So I've seen those shows.
That was good, yeah.
Hey, this was terrible news we got today.
Yes, Anthony Bourdain killed himself, 61 years old, hanged himself, reports are saying, in a hotel in Strasbourg. We're getting some tweets from people like Jamie Oliver, the celebrity chef. I have to say I'm in total shock to hear that the amazing Anthony Bourdain has just died. Very, very sad stuff.
It really is.
And it's Kate Spade
on
this
the
week,
heels?
Too.
Yeah, please, if you have any issue, call a suicide hotline. Please, 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 please.
Absolutely. Okay. Did you miss anything today? Check out 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. We've got videos and podcasts and all of our fun segments up on our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Up next is Mark Simone after the 10 o'clock news.
Yeah, let's end with little Anthony Bourdain.
So back in Vietnam, one of my favorite places on earth, and all of the things I need for happiness. Low plastic stool, check. Tiny little plastic table, check. Ooh, something delicious in a bowl.